You may think the road to getting greenlit for David Cronenberg's 1986 masterpiece The Fly was an easy one, but the reality is that it was anything but. False starts, premature deaths, and corporate takeovers were just some of the many issues that affected this production. Join me, Jason Peters from Esoterica Cinema, as we examine the weird, wild road to green light for David Cronenberg's The Fly. Fox had the rights to this story, originally published in Playboy magazine, a soft nudity and gentleman's lifestyle magazine, published between 1953 and 2020. It was written by George Langolin and was not really considered a noteworthy story, but the rights to the movie were still purchased by Fox, who signed on a new writer to adapt it into a screenplay by the name of James Clavell. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because it's the same James Clavell who wrote the international bestseller Shogun and the accompanying Asian saga novels, which I found to be a fun connection personally. 1958's The Fly became an unexpected hit, largely due to its now infamous ending and the subsequent commotion that it caused. While also spanning two ill-regarded sequels. It wasn't until the early 80s, when producer Stuart Kornfeld became interested in remaking the film, that he approached writer Charles Edward Pogue to adapt a brand new adaptation of the original Langolin story, this time focusing on the slow metamorphosis of Seth Brundle to a fly, instead of doing a quick body and head swap.
I know it's worked!
The two of them pitched the idea to executives at Fox, who were very enthusiastic about the idea. However, upon reading Pogue's finished draft, they were so unimpressed that they immediately withdrew from financing and instead negotiated a deal with Kornfeld on the side, which said that if he could get financing to get the production made, Fox would go ahead and distribute the film. It was at this point that Kornfeld reached out to his friend and collaborator Mel Brooks. That's right, we're talking about the same Mel Brooks that's responsible for comedy classics like Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. Brooks was actively producing non-comedies and comedies alike under the moniker of his production company Brooks Films. He insisted on leaving his name off of the films that weren't his own, as he didn't want people showing up to a drama or a horror film thinking that they were lining up for a Mel Brooks comedy. Now, among the noteworthy films to come out of Brooks Films are The Elephant Man, My Favorite Year, and of course this one, The Fly, along with numerous others that failed to impress or connect with larger audiences. Brooks liked this project, The Fly, but was unimpressed with the script and insisted on having Pogue removed, whereupon a different writer, one Wallen Green, was hired to do a rewrite. Now, here's the thing, is upon reading Green's rewrite, Brooks liked it even less than Pogue's original, felt it was a step in the wrong direction. So Green was fired and Pogue was brought back on and asked to polish his original draft. At the same time, Brooks and Kornfeld were busy trying to find a director for the project. Their first choice was a well-regarded Canadian auteur you may have heard of named David Cronenberg, but he was busy on a project for Dino De Laurentiis that I'm pretty sure you've heard of called Total Recall. That's right, the same Total Recall that would go on to be helmed by Paul Verhoeven and star Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, the producing pair actually settle on a young up-and-coming director out of Britain who is named Robert Bierman, and he enthusiastically agrees to take on the project. However, it wasn't long before an unfortunate tragedy befell him that would cause him to take leave from the project. So one day he's working pre-production in Los Angeles, getting ready for the movie, and he receives the worst call that a father can get. His daughter has been killed in an accident while on vacation with his wife and her mother in South Africa. He immediately rushes to the scene. Mel Brooks gives him 1 month, puts a hold on the project to see if he can get himself in good enough spirits to continue. However, 1 month proved to be not long enough for a grieving Bierman, understandably, and so Mel Brooks was kind enough to find and grant him another 3 months to see if he could get himself in a position to undertake the project psychologically and otherwise. Now, this would generally be a tough pill for any production company to swallow, regardless of the nature of the tragedy, but this is an even bigger deal at the time because Fox Studios was in the middle of a change in ownership, with now infamous owner Rupert Murdoch having just taken control. As such, any projects not already approved were put on hold, and as it turns out, The Fly was actually the only project that qualified to remain in production. This meant there were a ton of eyes on the project and significant expectations and pressure, so for Brooks to ultimately put the project on hold for 4 months took a lot of courage on his part. Now, unfortunately, despite the 4-month reprieve, Robert Bierman was unable to arrive at a place where he could continue with the project. And even to hear it from himself, he said his heart just wasn't in it anymore at the time. And so Mel Brooks released him from his contract without penalty. Bierman would actually later go on to have his theatrical debut in the Nick Cage psychological horror satire Vampire's Kiss just a few years later. Now, at this point, the movie's in dire straits, okay? It's got a flawed script and a director who, for completely understandable but still affecting reasons, had to abandon the project. But it was soon learned that David Cronenberg was actually available at the time because he just left Total Recall after having a discussion with producer Dino De Laurentiis in which he insisted that David Cronenberg make, quote, Raiders of the Lost Ark in space. So at that point, Cronenberg informs him that he doesn't make that type of material and their competing visions are so far off as to have no reasonable middle ground to be found, and so he leaves. So with Cronenberg now available, Kornfeld calls him up and asks, hey, what would it take to get you on board for The Fly? Cronenberg asked for $750,000, the ability to rewrite the entire script, and then to shoot the entire film in Canada using his own crew. Kornfeld agreed to every single demand and then even upped the salary to an even $1 million so that Cronenberg would accept it on the spot. So with a director in place who could finally be trusted to get the script in working order, the primary decision left to be made was who would be cast in the lead role. Several actors had been considered or dropped out for various reasons, including John Malkovich and John Lithgow, who both found the material too gruesome, and Michael Keaton and Richard Dreyfuss, who were not keen to perform under so much makeup. Mel Brooks actually insisted on Pierce Brosnan, but Cronenberg outright rejected that ask, was not going to have it. And so as more names were being tossed around, finally, the name Jeff Goldblum got thrown out there, almost kind of as a joke or an afterthought. But the longer that he was considered, the more everyone came around to the idea of him being that lead. And it's, you know, difficult to remember now, but being an eccentric actor with few leading roles at the time, we can take for granted that he wasn't a household name when he was cast. And as a matter of fact, Fox Studios president at the time was a man named Larry Gordon, who when he was informed by Mel and Stewart that they wanted to offer the role to Goldblum, Gordon told the two of them that it was the stupidest idea that he'd ever heard. But that he was going to ultimately let the decision fall on them, even though he was heavily encouraging them to go in a different direction. So as we know, the two settled on Goldblum, and the result was one of the finest body horror dramas to have ever graced screens big and small. I hope you enjoyed this telling of the road to Greenlight for 1986's The Fly. If so, you might enjoy my review of The Fly with my good friend and co-host Ryan Siebold. I have a link for you right here. If not, you can go ahead and access that in the description. For Esoterica Cinema, this has been Jason Peters. Keep watching movies and appreciating film.